really cool feature that I'll tell you about later.
Cool.
Jim Harris joining us this morning. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Are you going to Nashville?
No, I'm staying home.
That's probably smart. I'm afraid that it may be a quick trip, unfortunately, but a team that is not...
Hot Springs wore me out, Justin.
Buddy, I'm telling you, that was...
I saw you lost some Twitter followers, Jim.
Yeah. I think there are 20 or so people who apparently didn't like my Sun Belt updates, I guess.
So they quit following you because of that?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I was headed for a... No, I was just about to cross the big 5,000 threshold, and I went 20 the other direction.
Well, you're still way ahead of me, so it's okay. You'll be there soon again, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, you know, I was hoping people would really be excited to know how that Florida International Western Kentucky game went.
I think the highlight of the day is, well, you know what? There were two famous people, both associated with Louisville, over the years, who were at the Sun Belt Conference Tournament this weekend. We saw Bobby Petrino on Saturday, which I thought was strange, but apparently their football doesn't start for a little while here.
I saw your photo. It was average at best.
Well, I mean, I was way away. I don't want to go up and go, "Hey, Coach, pose," because I don't care for him. I didn't want to get around him. I didn't want to make a big deal about it. And somebody's like, "Why didn't you get an interview with him?" I'm like, "Because I didn't want to talk to him." I mean, I didn't feel from a journalistic standpoint that I was derelict in my duty by not interviewing Bobby Petrino. I thought pointing out simply that he was there. Yes, I have an iPhone 4S. I'm sorry if that's not up to snuff and you iPhone 5 people's world. Sorry, I'm a second-rate citizen.
It wasn't even
I might
about
as well
that.
Move to the
it
Dominican
like
Republic.
It was really far away.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to get too close. I go, "Hey, go take my picture." I didn't want to cause a big scene. You know what I mean? I didn't need that. Anyway, so I was just trying to point it out. I could have done it without the picture and going, "Hey, Bobby Petrino's here." It was just a second-rate effort at pointing it out. He's the guy in the blue shirt. Then, of course, yesterday, even more importantly, Rick Pitino was in the house to support his son Richard, whose FIU team, Jim, made a very unlikely run, almost as unlikely as Western Kentucky's run, to the Sun Belt Conference Championship.
At the end of the season, they were a heck of a ball club. I mean, they were way different than they looked when they came to Little Rock the first time. And, of course, they spanked the Trojans pretty good, as we saw Saturday. But behind Malik Smith, he shot the three. He could play for the Razorbacks. He could play for about anybody.
Yeah, he would be very valuable. He was 8 of 10 from beyond the 3-point line. He was 1 3-pointer away from setting a Sun Belt Conference mark. So
both these teams, I mean, it's true. I mean, with throughout basketball, I mean, both these teams were peaking. Western Kentucky had several injuries through this season. I mean, think about what they've done the last 2 years, Justin. Last year, they fired their coach, during the season and elevate Ray Harper to the head coaching job in the middle of the season or before conference. You remember how they were just... They fired their head coach in December, I think. They had some really strange losses, and the fans sort of revolted.
Ken McDonald, yeah.
Yeah, and they elevate Ray, and he takes them. He builds this team with, freshmen, sophomores mostly. You know, they make a 4-game run through the tournament last year. They upset. Well, they didn't have to play Middle Tennessee, which was, again, the best team in the league. And they won the tournament. They didn't do very well in the NCAA tournament, but they had a good run to win the Sun Belt. So then they come back this year. This year, they have a bunch of injuries. You know, the point guard was out for a while. I think T.J. Price, who was the MVP of the tournament, was up and down, kind of hurt during the season, too. But, you know, this is when you want everybody healthy, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then I'm really impressed with what Florida International was able to do. Isaiah Thomas, of course, was the coach there for, a couple of seasons anyway, and kind of, I don't know what he was doing down there, but he wasn't building a program. And certainly Richard Pitino has done great. And he brings his dad, or his dad comes in last night, and the opposite of Petrino was Rick Pitino must have stood for 50, 75 fans wanting their photo with him, just all over there where he was sitting behind the bench, or or at halftime when he came around. You know, I think he was a guest on ESPN's broadcast. And man, the guy was just, he played it. I mean, you know, he didn't like, hey, leave me alone, I'm here to see my son or anything like that. It was just, he knows he's a popular guy, a popular coach, and he certainly accommodated the fans who wanted to meet him. And
that's cool. Well, he, I don't want to say anything, but I mean, there weren't a lot of fans there to be accommodated, I guess. And for,
that's not the final
of the Sun Belt Conference and Hot Springs at Hope For, I guess, but that's, you know, that's the way it goes. So it's unfortunate. If ASU had been able to get over the hump in its game, it would have had a very good look at winning the title and going to the NCAA tournament, which we're all.
I mean, it was it was on the table for them. And of course, they have a 2-point lead, you know, with a couple minutes to go. And then don't score again, I guess, until it was over. You know, kind of. It certainly got away from you know, from John Brady and the Red Wolves. I mean, they have it, and then it's stolen from them. You know, actually, Western Kentucky, as you saw the night before that, I mean, they won two games in a row. They won a game from South Alabama, and they won a game from Arkansas State that they trailed in basically the last half minute, and they literally stole the game. They made steals and layups in the backcourt that turned games around, or their season's over too. It's just, what a terrific week. I'm sad that Hot Springs gives up the Sun Belt tournament, goes to New Orleans, but not to the Superdome, or not to Hornets Arena, but to Lakefront Arena at the New Orleans University of New Orleans campus. That doesn't sound quite as appealing.
Are they going to use a second venue, or what? Do you know what the arrangement's going to be next
year?
They
have not decided what they're going to do, or if the women are going to. I don't think that's decided.
Okay.
I just know that the men's tournament for sure will be at UNO, and if they're going to do the women there, they may have to split it up by days, or it'll be a lot longer tournament. Certainly,
yeah,
the setup in Hot Springs was perfect.
Well, they've got a second facility on campus. They could use the Human Performance Center, but they got some serious renovations they would need to do to get that thing going. I mean, they've got the old gym, which is the Human Performance Center, which I said is an ironic name because it's not fit for human performance. They need to definitely upgrade the lighting, is really the only issue. Other than that, it's a fine little arena. It'll be just, you know, it'd be adequate for what they're going to do, especially if they put all the women's games in there, or if they went back and forth with some of the less popular teams. And of course, you know, with the Florida schools leaving and you lose those fan bases, which was pretty insignificant at the tournament every year, and you add in an Arlington, a team, you know, a team that should bring some fans, and a Texas State that should bring some fans from a proximity standpoint. You know, I think it'll be a better atmosphere overall, honestly, when you trade the Florida schools out for that. Unfortunately, you lose Middle, and Middle's usually got a pretty good following. But, you know, they've got, and there was news this week, the commissioner had a press conference while they were down in Hot Springs talking about how they could add a bunch of schools right now if they wanted to. There are a lot of schools that are interested in joining the Sun Belt, but they're trying to be very selective, and I think they'll add some more football-playing members here in the near future, so stay tuned for that. We'll see. But I do want to move on. Oh, one quick thing, Jim, and then I do want to get to the SEC tournament. But ASU, a guy called earlier and asked, what do you think their NIT possibilities are? I think probably not at all.
Zero.
I
mean, they don't take teams like they used to, where they go, hey, wow, we could pair Arkansas and Arkansas State. That'd be a great, you know, money-making game. They don't. Well, the NIT is now owned by the NCAA, and what they do is they take the next 32 teams after the 68 are filled. For the NCAA field, they choose the next best 32, and I don't think Arkansas State's one of those. As far as RPI or final results, I mean, there's probably, I mean, the Sun Belt, they get an NIT team. First of all, is Middle going to get an at-large bid? Is the big question. If they don't, I mean, they're going to
Jim,
the NIT. FIU would probably get a bid now.
It's a travesty if they don't at 32. They're 32 in the RPI as of this morning.
And see, here's the deal. I mean, you got Pat Forty, Andy Katz, you know, Joe Lenardi. I'm just thinking of some of the major writers in the, you know, that you read nationally who are basically saying, well, they're on the bubble or they're the next four out. Or I mean, they're already kind of setting the mindset that they should be left out. I think that's completely wrong. I think they should be fighting their case.
I agree. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, John nice Brady, out of conference.
John Brady suffers a terrifically heartbreaking loss for his program and career. And yet one of the first things out of his mouth in the press room, he's ain't playing middle either, was, hey, you guys need to, you know, do what you can for middle. I mean, they're deserving. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that they'd be left out. I mean, yeah. I thought that was telling. I mean, he's left out, and yet he's worrying about middle. I mean, that's great for the,
I'm with you.
You know, the Sun Belt just needs more spokesmen like John Brady and like you know, Rick and Richard Pitino. And
yeah, well, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at CBSSports.com this morning, Jim, and this is Jerry Palm, and his bracket does not include, which is really sad to me, Middle Tennessee. And he
has, he's another one. Yeah, as
Western
is
a 15 seed.
Lenardi. I mean,
yeah, it's nonsense. Okay, well, we can't do much for them, I guess, unfortunately. Arkansas, I think if Arkansas beats Vanderbilt on Thursday, Arkansas is probably going to get an invite to the NIT. They're hovering around 80 with their RPI. Do you think that's the case, or do you think they need to do more than that?
I think they need to beat Vanderbilt. If they lose to Vanderbilt, what I'm not sure what happens to their RPI. It doesn't go up. I mean, it doesn't improve.
Right.
Certainly, I don't think they're on the bubble for the NIT. I think they're in it today, if they decided today, but I think they could end up on the bubble if they don't take care of business against Vanderbilt. On the other hand, the tournament bracket lines up very nicely for Arkansas to make a good run in this tournament. I don't know if they can play three or four games in a row at peak performance, but I mean, Vanderbilt and then getting Kentucky in the second round and I think still not seeing Florida until the championship game, it really sets up nicely. I think everybody that can play up to the Florida championship game, if that's what it was, they can beat them. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and Missouri's on the same side or the other side? Missouri on the other side, right?
Yeah, they're six.
Yeah.
Actually, Missouri is on, yeah, they would be playing Ole Miss at some point. I mean, right?
I'm pulling up the bracket now. I guess I didn't look that far down into it because, you know, I'm with you. I think they can beat, absolutely believe Arkansas could beat Kentucky. Certainly, I'll be disappointed if they don't beat Vanderbilt, but I won't be shocked if they don't beat Vanderbilt, especially playing in Nashville. But, you know, I think the only school they really, the schools they cannot beat or won't beat in there, honestly, I almost like the Florida matchup better than Missouri at this point. And I said just the opposite last week. I just think they're too physical and too difficult to match up with inside. Plus, they've got great point guard play. I don't think they could beat Missouri if they played them, you know, on a neutral court five times.
I don't either, but I think they could beat Florida.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and then, of course, they won't have to play most likely, and I'm still trying to figure out the bracket here, but wouldn't have to play them both.
Well, I think they can beat Ole Miss, but I'm thinking Missouri, even from the sixth seed, can beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, I agree.
I know Ole Miss did get two wins the last week of the season. You know, congratulations to them, but they're not playing nearly the level of ball they were playing in January.
Yeah, it'd be Missouri would play Ole Miss, and then the winner of that game, let's see, 6-12 winner there would be, I don't know. I'll have to look.
Well, six is going to win. Six is going to advance, and then I think six plays three, which is an Ole Miss three.
Ole Miss is
Ole Miss three,
yes.
And who did Tennessee jump to four?
Yeah. Tennessee's five. Alabama's four.
Alabama, I mean.
Which,
okay.
Again, at the end of the season, that last weekend was pretty significant because there was a lot of movement that could happen. And, of course, Arkansas was lucky probably to end up as the seventh seed as it was because they could have easily dropped to the eighth seed if LSU had won. Of course, LSU would have had to beat Ole Miss along the way, but – yeah, it was an interesting final weekend. I think Alabama's the forgotten man in all this. At 12-6, they are the team that probably is getting the least amount of respect between Kentucky, Ole Miss, Alabama, and Tennessee, and Missouri. Everybody considers Missouri to be a lock, in the tournament, and Florida as well. And I think Kentucky, most people, as long as Kentucky wins a game, which will be against either Vanderbilt or Arkansas, I think I'm starting to think now Kentucky's probably in. Don't you?
Yeah, and I'm not so sure they're not in, even if they were to play Arkansas again and lose again. I think Kentucky,
really?
I think Kentucky did a lot for itself with its RPI and with beating Florida, even the way they did it Saturday. Yeah, I think Arkansas might could beat Kentucky a second time and Kentucky get in over Arkansas. I mean, just looking at it. Head-to-head.
The downside for Arkansas, of course, they're playing a team in Kentucky that is hungry, and, of course, they played like it against Florida. But I think they're probably thinking, look, we've got to win this game to make it into the tournament. And I'd rather have a Kentucky team that's like, screw it, we're already in good shape, and we're going to be a sixth seed no matter what happens. So, but I don't think they probably feel like that. Who else do you think is going to get in? I mean, we'll assume that Florida's in, Missouri's in, and I'll grant you Kentucky. Does Ole Miss or Tennessee or Alabama get in?
Well, if Kentucky does squander it, if Arkansas beats Kentucky or Vanderbilt, whoever plays Kentucky in that game, it could open the door for Ole Miss or for Alabama or even Tennessee. But I just seem to feel like, and I think this is the consensus across the board, that there's only three teams going. So if somebody else other than Florida or Missouri wins the tournament and it's not Kentucky, I mean, say Ole Miss runs the table, which I don't think they're going to do, but I mean, I would see the third team being that winner, if that makes sense, or Alabama, yeah. Or you know, it's odd to think Missouri being the sixth seed. Of course, a whole lot of that has to do with just the, I think it's a tie, but having that sixth seed, how is Missouri an automatic?
Yeah,
and four teams ahead of them are.
I agree 100%, and it just seems to be a foregone conclusion that they're in. I'm with you. I don't get that either.
And I don't know what Missouri's done. I know they didn't have Bowers during a stretch of the season, and they'll get – some consideration for not having him for 3 weeks when the committee meets. But what did Missouri do? I mean, they blew a game at UCLA. I'm trying to even think of what they did in non-conference that gets them in the tournament.
Well, they only have a couple of road wins. So I'm going to assume they're going to beat the winner of Auburn and A&M. Then they would play Ole Miss, like you said. And then it's going to be either Kentucky, Arkansas, or Vanderbilt. So, you know, look, if they beat Ole Miss, I think they're probably in. But I think that might be an elimination game. I think if Missouri loses that game to Ole Miss,
then
they're
going
to have a tough time.
Yeah,
I think
right.
You definitely do. Because they're going to have 20 – that'd be their 24th win. That'd be their 12-6 in the regular season. Be their 13th conference win. I'll be really surprised if you keep – I don't know how you can keep Ole Miss out over keeping Missouri out in that scenario. And then Tennessee's been the hottest team of late.
Right.
They did have one bad loss the other day, but then they knocked off Missouri there down there. And that's the thing. If Missouri had beaten Tennessee the other day and had their 23rd win, I'd say, sure, they're in, and Tennessee's certainly out at this point. But Tennessee finds a way to pull that out. They're going to beat Mississippi State or South Carolina. They could sit a couple
right.
of starters probably and beat those teams. Then I like them against Alabama for sure as the 4 seed in the 5-4 matchup. And then they got to play probably Florida in the next round. So, I mean, Tennessee could easily get themselves a couple of wins right here.
Well, Tennessee can run the table. They may have the kind of team that could do it in their home state. They ought to have some fans following them. But the loss you mentioned was at Georgia. So did Kentucky. Kentucky lost at Georgia. So it's really I hate to say Tennessee had a bad loss when it was, you know, to the Bulldogs, who are a pretty good team, as we saw, and then Kentucky lose to them as well. I mean, then would have to be considered – similar losses, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, we got to hit a break because we've got an interview coming up here. But if
better one than this, I hope.
No, it's not that, but we've got a coach scheduled. We're going to talk to Coach Weaver. Hey, you know what? You just added back probably at least 10 Twitter followers, so it was worth our trouble. Here's the thing. I'll make a deal with you, or if you're available and willing, at least. If Arkansas wins Thursday, I'd love to get you back on Friday, and we can break all this down again because I'm starting to get hate mail from Missouri fans telling me that you're nuts if you think that's an elimination game.
Okay.
I'm with you, though. I don't know, other than the name cachet,
yeah.
I don't know what's so great about Missouri's resume.
I don't either. And, and if they lose to Ole Miss, but they lose 2 or 3. I mean, you know, Ole Miss beat them once in the regular season. Missouri beat them at home once. So you'd have a best of 3 possibly for that spot. I just don't see more than 3 SEC teams. Let's talk Friday at this time, Justin.
I hope we do, Jim. All right, man. We appreciate it very much.
Okay. See ya.
We are. Thanks, man.